If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of St. John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwell with you, and he shall be in you. John 14, verse 25, and these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And I know that I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right in the eye and say, hey, you're beautiful. I am glad to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. I will go ahead and warn you that several years ago while evangelizing, I had a visiting pastor calling me after church. He said, you're kind of slanted, aren't you? I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, you preach that stuff like you're Pentecostal. I said, I am. He looked at me sort of funny. I said, did you not notice the sign out front? Come on, church. I don't know about y'all, but that sign out front says we Church of God. Means we're Pentecostal. And I'm not going to apologize because I am what I believe. Hello? I got to do that so I can see you. I don't know what kind of glasses these are, but I can't see past the pulpit with them on. They real good up here, though. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, I used to be Catholic, and I still enjoy going by the Catholic Church every once in a while and sitting in on a mass. I used to make a habit of going on Christmas Eve sometime and sitting and watching. It's pageantry. It's awesome. You know, I have no problem with that. You want to go watch the Catholics? Go watch them. I go to Baptist churches to revival. I enjoy hearing you guys preach. I got no problem with Baptist folks. I preach Methodist camp meetings. I shook them up some, preaching their doctrine to them. I remember one night I was preaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This guy bent me after church. He said, we don't have that kind of preaching here. I said, that's how come y'all hired me. Now, he took me in the office. He said, I want you to know I have an earned doctorate degree. I said, really? Yes, I earned my doctorate degree from Asbury Theological Seminary, and I did my doctoral dissertation on the doctrines of Methodism, and what you preach tonight is not our doctrine. He had his little cohorts, about five or six of them. They all had master's degrees. I said, well, I got a doctorate degree in divinity. It ain't the spiritual kind, it's that sugar candy you eat. I love the stuff. He looked at me sort of funny. I said, sir, I don't want to make you feel bad, but I preached your doctrine tonight. One of the guys said, didn't you hear him? He studied the doctrines, got a doctorate degree in the doctrine of Methodism. He said, we don't believe that. I said, then you and him both better read your books. See, God gives this old dub country boy some wisdom every once in a while, because I preached that sermon straight out of a book. I just opened the book up, marked it in. I had my Bible, but I had that book laying there, and I was using the points in that book to preach that message. And I handed the book to him. I said, undoubtedly, at Asbury Theological Seminary, and those of you know what that is, that's actually the college that belongs to the Methodist Church in Kentucky. It's where all of them go to get their doctorate degrees. I said, undoubtedly in their library, they didn't have this book. And I handed it to him, and when I did, his buddies all got upset because that book was called The Doctrines of Methodism by John Wesley. I said, since he wrote your doctrine, he ought to know what's in it. Hello? But when I go to Catholic church, I expect them to act like Catholics. I expect the priest to come back there with that holy water, shaking it on people. If you've ever been to Catholic Church, you'll understand that. If you hadn't, you'll miss it. Glory. I expect him to get up there and pray, and I expect him to do that. When I go to Baptist church, I expect him to act like Baptist. I expect to hear a Baptist message preached by a Baptist preacher, and I expect him to act like Baptist. I go to Methodist church, I expect them to act one of two ways, either modern or traditional. Now, in traditional service, they're going to have the reading at the back of the hymnal where the preacher reads and everybody reads back to him. They do that. They're going to have a guy come in the back with a lit candle, and he's going to walk in and light some candles because he's bringing in the fire. When they get through, they're going to sing the doxology, and while they're singing the doxology, that same little boy is going to come in, light that candle, blow those out, and walk out because he's taking the fire out to the world. Now, the only fire you're probably going to feel in that service is what was on that candle he brought in and took out. If you go to a modern Methodist service, you're going to see them be charismatic. They're going to sing praise songs. They're going to worship. They're going to get into it. They're going to be lively. Amen. Some of them actually bounce off the wall and act like us. But when I go to their church, I expect them to act like that. But when I go in a church that says, we're Pentecostal, we believe in the move of the Spirit, we believe in the operation of the Spirit, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit, then I want to see them acting like they believe in what they actually say they believe in. I want to see the gifts of the Spirit operational. I want people worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I want God to be able to move. Could you say amen? Glory. I want to talk to you tonight on something I think, especially in our church world, what is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? One of the least understood principles of Scripture is the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Many miss the greater blessing of experiencing God because they believe that salvation, at the time of salvation, you get baptized. That's not true. At the time of salvation, the Spirit of God will then abide with you. But if you'll notice, Jesus doesn't repeat himself. He said he shall abide with you and he shall be in you. That's two different experiences. You say, preacher, you couldn't prove that with Scripture. Turn with me to the book of St. John's Gospel, chapter 20. And then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now notice something. This isn't the outbreathing of human air. This isn't a preacher throwing his coat on you and you falling out. Oh, I made some of you mad. I got on your hero. I'm sorry. If I got to blow on you for you to fall, then you probably ain't gonna fall. Hello? I'm not a trickster. I don't push people down. If you expect me to push on you and you push back, you're probably going to fall because I'm going to jerk my hand off. I may put pressure, but I never push. I put pressure and jerk my hand away. And I've had people fall into me because of that, because they thought I was going to push and push back, and I didn't push. Glory. I don't believe in that. I'm not going to knock you in the middle of next week like some people. There's one particular evangelist, if I go down for prayer, I want to make sure I get about a step away from him when he starts to pray so it slows down before it gets to me. Glory. Because I know he's going, when he says he's going to hit you, he'll hit you. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. His initials is T.L. Lowry. I seen him hit a guy one night, and I heard him make contact with his stomach, and I go, whoa. He said, look, he's in the Spirit. I said, he ain't got no breath left. Glory. Oh, come on, church. Smile. Amen. Jesus breathed on them, but it was not the outbreathing of human air. This is a glorified Savior. He's already come forth from the grave. He's no longer in the flesh. When he breathed on them, it was the actual impartation of his Spirit into their life. But notice this, they did not get the Holy Ghost at that moment. The Spirit of God began to abide with them. Now, if you'll turn with me again, you'll find in the book of Acts, chapter 1, what Jesus said to them there. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Did you hear that? This is after he breathed on them. He said, go tarry in the the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. And it's not going to happen many days hence. How many of you know they got together in the upper room? They began to worship and pray. They started out, there was probably closer to 700 of them, but within the time of a 10-day period, about 500 or so of them left because they wouldn't tarry and they wouldn't wait and they missed the experience. Some of them may have actually thought, well, I got it. Now he breathed on me. Hello? We got some folks actually think that's all there is to it. I remember when I got in the Church of God, I was dumb. I didn't know about Pentecost. I'd never been to Pentecostal service before I got saved. I'll be honest with you, I knew Pentecost. Them folks at Buell were crazy. We used to get on the hill out there behind Mr. Ivy's house and watch them shout around the old white block building. And we'd laugh at them because they'd come out the building and shout, run around the building. They put the new building up and they broke it in right. They shouted around it just like they did the old white block building. We used to laugh. There goes cousin so-and-so, uncle so-and-so. We'd laugh, have a big time. I was out there one night, the Holy Ghost hit me. I went through a back door, come around the front of that building. All of a sudden, I said, oh, man. And sure enough, one of my nephews was across the road just cracking up. Glory. I got in the Church of God. I got saved. And they start revival. Next thing you know, somebody says, you need to get sanctified. I said, what's that? He said, I don't know, but you need it. Brother Marty Kelly now pastors a church in Muscle Shoals, but he is dumb as I was back in them days. Amen. I went to that altar and I got to praying. They bounced me around, shook me around. One guy picked me up like a sack of taters and run around the building like this. He was, hold on, son. I got up front. Some guy grabbed my head while that guy's bouncing. He's holding my head dead still, saying, turn loose, turn loose. They turned me loose. I shouted. They said, you got it. And I thought, man, I've got it. I didn't know what I had, but I had it. Next night, I'm at church. Boy said, hey, you need the Holy Ghost. I said, what's that? He said, it's better than what you got last night. So I went to the altar. I made it the rest of that week. Didn't get nothing except shouted all over the place. Every time I'd get loose, they'd get loose. I think they was getting more out of it than I was. They started revival at Cody Church of God. Those don't know where Cody is. This is in the middle of nowhere, outside of Fayette. Y'all had a pastor come from there here one time. His name was Burris. Hello? He was pastoring that church when this happened. I went to that church that night, there's in revival. And I told some of them, I said, I'm going to get the Holy Ghost. One of them says, you don't know when you're going to get it. I said, I'm telling you tonight, I'm going to get the Holy Ghost or we ain't coming home. Glory. I got so hungry for God, I made up my mind. I'm not leaving until God fills me with the Holy Ghost. And I'm back on that back pew. I was Church of God back then. Come on, church. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Church of God, if you're going to sit on the back, you got to get there early. I'm sitting on that back pew, man. All of a sudden, that evangelist stopped. It was old Leo Smith. Leo walked out there and said, I feel the presence of God. Somebody's touched him. You want the Holy Ghost? Step out and believe right now. God's going to fill you. I made about halfway up that aisle, and I lost it. Somebody said, well, I got the Holy Ghost. I knew everything. I didn't. Son, I went bat blind crazy for a few minutes. I lost it. I got to shouting and tearing up, speaking in tongues, the Holy Ghost falling all over me. Come on, church. Oh, it's even worse going home. They tell me I was letting go of the steering wheel and everything else. So I was, oh, God. You know, they all prayed through time we got back to Buell. Oh. I wheeled up in the parking lot, jumped out of the car, went shouting around the parking lot. Man across the road called my mama, said, that boy, yours down here drunk, Miss Stroop. Y'all need to get him. Amen. You know, since he's Pentecostal, he ought to know better. Come on, church. I never forget the next week I went to a fellowship meeting. Brother Leroy Smith was pastor at Coker Church of God. Walked up, slid his arm around me. He said, boy, you got the victory. I said, if it's been that Holy Ghost, forget church. Let's just go to the altar. Amen. I mean, I thought every time you went to church, you had something better, something else you could get. But I didn't realize there is a baptism of the Holy Ghost. You get filled with the Spirit, and he begins to dwell with you when you get saved. But there's an indwelling of the Holy Ghost that happens when you praise and you seek the face of God that is far beyond the salvation experience. It's the one that'll help you walk walk right. It'll help you talk right. It'll lead God, direct you into all the knowledge of God if you'll allow him to do it. And if we've ever needed anything, we need a fresh anointing of God in the house of the Lord today. Could you say amen? Somebody said, preacher, are you sure? Yes, I am. What is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? It is the power of God indwelling in your life into the deepest experience you've ever experienced. But you know the great thing? There's one baptism, but there's many baptizings. Glory. By the time you think you got it all, he'll pour a little more in. Amen. The great thing about our God is he just keeps filling your cup. As long as you pour out, he'll pour in. Amen. Some of you got old oil. Come on, church. I need to get quiet when I said that. Some of you hadn't poured out in so long, you don't know what it's like. But see, like all things of God, Satan tries to give a counterfeit. Draws us away from the truth. There's false baptisms and there are true baptisms. Every person who truly repents and invites Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to receive the Spirit, according to 1 John 3, he said, my Spirit, he calls it his seed. My seed remaineth in you. Hello? But notice this. However, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a completely separate event. When someone becomes a Christian, there should be a change because they have a new focus and a new life. But when you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, it is equally, if not more, life-changing because we receive the power of God for service. Oh, that's good stuff. A false baptism will not yield the fruit that God wants you to have in your life. Many claim to be filled weekly, but if there is no desire to serve God and there's no fruit in it from God, then it most likely is not the baptism of the Holy Ghost that I'm trying to talk to you about tonight. Come on, church. Amen. Some of you, all you got is self-gratifying baptism. You just feel them little doodads and shout and leave and nothing else happens. But if you do not walk in the power of the truth and live in the power of the truth and move in the power of the truth, it is not the true baptism that God has brought to your life. Oh, listen, John 4:24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The true baptism will never go against the truth of God's word. Hello? I've been in emotional churches. I've been in churches filled with the Spirit. I've been in churches that would shout to drop a hat and brag about the fact the preacher couldn't preach. Wow, we had a great service. Why, he never got to preach. I'd take that as a slap in the face. They didn't want to hear him. Hello? Yeah, if that preacher was that bad, I'd try to get me another preacher. We ain't taking no vote. Glory. I can see some right now. I'll make a motion. Glory. Nothing wrong with God taking over sometime, but it's going to be balanced. He's not going to take over and keep the word from going out. I had one preacher I went to preach for him one Sunday morning. He said, bless God, we ain't had preaching in 6 months. Choir director got up and got to shouting and carrying on, went to calling people out, telling me to go pray for them. I'm sitting up there like, oh, you got the anointing, go for it. Preacher got me, and we started going out praying for people, and sure enough, about 12 o'clock, he got up and dismissed service. After church, he told me about this family breakup, that family breakup, this man backsliding, that man leaving the church, this man doing that, that man doing the other. I looked at him, I said, you ever thought the fact that without the word, nobody's growing and nothing's happening in your church? He looked at me, he said, what are you getting at? I said, when did you quit preaching? When did this Holy Ghost supposed to start taking over every service? He said, oh, ever since we've had that choir director. I said, let me give you a word of advice. Fire him and get somebody that knows the move of the Spirit and let God begin to move again and put a book in your hand called the Bible and begin to preach to your church before it collapses around you. You want to tell your church, it wasn't a few months after that he was gone, backslid, because he himself was losing the word. We've got to have the word of God, and the Holy Ghost will not take you away but take you into the truth of Almighty God. That's good preaching. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will glorify me. You see that? It's not just about the edifying of the body. It's about the glorifying of God. Whew, that's good stuff. There are times when I need God to edify me. It's going to be when I'm in my prayer closet praying and I get alone with God and he begins to pick me up with his anointing and his power and his blessings get me. Come on, church. Some of you come around here. Listen, if you shout in church, you ought to shout in your prayer closet. And if you can't shout at home, you ain't got no business shouting down here. I like what Ron Phillips said when he was quoting what Paul said. He said, Paul said, I'd rather speak 10,000 words in understanding than one word that couldn't be understood. And I misunderstood that till I heard Ron Phillips one time looked at the way he did. He said, I'd rather pray for the understanding in 10,000 words so that when I walked out there, I could say one word that would touch somebody and move them through the anointing I got while I was doing all that back in the prayer closet when nobody was around. And I want to tell you something, church. We need to understand if we're going to shout at church, we ought to get an anointing when we're at home sometime and get some edification in our body and let God move. Glory. I've had people tell me, all the time I feel the Holy Ghost at church, then you don't have what I got. I felt him in the field when nobody else was around. I felt him in the car riding down the road. Come on, church. Whew. I remember coming back from Missouri one night, worried about all kind of stuff. Kept thinking I was going to die. You ever have that hit? Well, you're worried you're going to die every other breath. It happens to you when people keep checking on you. Hello? Here lately, every time I move, you all right? I got up last night. That's nothing unusual for me to do. I went to watch some TV because I couldn't sleep. I had Audie Murphy on in a cowboy, and I'm sitting back there watching it, and Josh, you all right? I said, yeah, I'm fine. You sure? I just couldn't sleep. You sure? I started checking my pulse. I started wondering. Hello? I'd have people tell me I was going to have all kind of problems. One lady prophesied I was going to die. I laughed at it, but, you know, after a while, you start wondering. I'm on my way back from Missouri, and I'm running out through that. Something in my heart says, in my mind, said, you're going to have a heart attack. I got spiritual. I said, I rebuke you. I ain't going to have that. And about that time, there was a pain hit me. It didn't care how bad I rebuked and wasn't going to accept it. It run down through that left hand, it curled up, and I was like, oh, you know. And I'm in the middle of the highway running 70 miles an hour, curled up over a steering wheel crying. I thought, there ain't no heart attack. I'm not having no heart attack. By the time the other arm decided to join that one. I don't know, I may have had a heart attack, I ain't sure. I got that car stopped, pulled off on the side of the road, and I'm sitting there, and I'm hurting, and by now, I'm accepting it. I'm having a heart attack. You couldn't have talked me out of it if you wanted to. It's thundering and lightning and pouring down rain. Lightning hits, and I look, and you know what? I stop beside a graveyard. I'm looking out there going, I bet there's a place out there with Stroop on it somewhere. May not be mine, but it's got my name on it. About that time, the Holy Spirit hit me. I felt a peace come over me, and the Spirit of God got on me. I started getting a little holy boldness, and I said, wait a minute. If I'm having a heart attack, if I get out and start running, I'm going to die. I threw the door open, jumped out of that car, and I took off running. There's a bridge. I figured I'd get under it before I got too wet. You ever been out west? Do you realize how far it is sometimes when you can see a bridge? It ain't like here. I'm running and I'm thinking, I ain't never gonna get to that bridge. I finally got to the bridge. I'm soaking wet and I'm standing there looking. I barely can't see my car sitting back there with the lights on, door wide open, motor running, and it pouring down rain. And I'm in a pillowation now. I ain't running back to the car. I'm walking, just praying I make it. Ah, oh, come on, some of y'all act like y'all could have run both ways. I got back to that car, sat down in that soaking wet seat, put my feet in that floor with water in it, drove home. Hey, I didn't have no heart attack. Had cold for 3 or 4 weeks, but I didn't have no heart attack. Glory. So I said, what's that got to do with your sermon? In the middle of all that, the Spirit of God was able to touch me and lift me up and bless me. And I lost it while I was on that road, got a hold of the Spirit of God. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something that's not just a Sunday morning experience or a Sunday night. Let's have a camp meeting service or Wednesday night praying through during Bible study. I'm talking about Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday of my life. I get a hold of something that's in my life that turns me on and turns me upside down when nothing else will. That's what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is all about. Could you say amen? Somebody said, well, preacher, that's just something the New Testament church come up with. Right. Genesis. The Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the deep. Hello? I read where the Bible talks about a man by the name of Bezalel. Said he was a man in whom the Spirit of God dwelt. And he was anointed with the Spirit of God in all manner of workmanship. Oh, some of y'all ain't never had that kind of anointing. Glory. Amen. Come on, church. Not yet. The Bible said the Spirit of God moved on Samson. That's how he tore down those mountains, those pillars. He wasn't his long hair. It was the anointing of God that hit him when he slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. It was the Spirit of God that hit him when he tore off the gates of Gaza. It was the Spirit of God that hit him when he moved. Because you prove it, yes, in the book of Judges when he got to the pillars. He didn't say, God, make my hair grow. He said, Lord, one more time, let me feel your Spirit. One more time, let me feel that anointing as it touched me. I read where the Spirit of God hit David and he danced down the middle of the street. I see where the Spirit of God touched Elijah and at different times touched people according to God's will in the Old Testament. They were waiting on an anointing. But I hear Jesus when he said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you shall be endued with power from on high. And from the time of the anointing fell, now God's waiting on us to get hungry enough for the power of his glory. And when we do, there is an anointing that God can put in your life that supersedes you to the presence of his glory. Hallelujah. So I said, preacher, do you believe that? Yes, I do. There was something about these men who served Jesus. You ever notice he gets killed, he dies on the cross, and they hide out, afraid they're going to get found? It's that same group of guys hiding out. They get in the upper room. And when the Holy Ghost got on them, they walked out in the streets and said, let me tell you about this man. I'm not afraid of him anymore. Peter, who had actually cursed Christ, stood up and said, I want to talk to you about this Jesus Christ whom you crucified. Hallelujah. And 3,000 souls came to know Jesus. Amen. That same man who had denied Christ and wouldn't preach the gospel gets thrown into prison. Just saw his buddy's head chopped off. And yet that night, they were waiting to get ready to cut his head off. The next morning, the angel come, wakes him up, sends him outside, and the next morning he's on the street corner under the boldness of the anointing of the Holy Ghost saying, hey, that Jesus whom he crucified, who may have cut my brother's head off, but God's still real and he still loves. And come on, church. Those men that he had turned the world upside down through an anointing of the Holy Ghost, the presence and the power of the Spirit. Can I tell you, it is a gift to those who will believe. The Word of God said, if ye being evil know how to give gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the gifts of the Spirit to you? So, man, what are you talking about? You don't have to catch it. I'll never forget years ago, and I won't call his name because he pastors the Church of God in Alabama now. He was about 8 years old. That's right. I won't tell you who it is. I want you to go to him and find out how old I really am. He ran up to me at church one night. He said, "Patrick, I caught the Holy Ghost a while ago. I kidded him about that preaching one night at a church his pastor, and ever since then, he's made me sound like Methuselah when I come to preach for him. So I'm glad I'm not doing it no more. Glory. Got up to him and said, his preaching before I was born. I couldn't deny it because he wasn't as old as I'd been preaching. So what are you talking about? You don't have to catch the Holy Ghost. It's not some disease. It's a gift. You get a gift, all you got to do is accept it. Allow it into your life. God will fill you with the Spirit if you hunger after Him. Listen, I'm going to close just a moment. But Jeremiah, if you'll turn with me to the book of Jeremiah chapter 29. Then ye shall call on me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with your whole heart. When you get to the point, God's all that will satisfy you, God will satisfy you. Say, prove it, preacher. Psalm says, God would satisfy the hungry heart. God will satisfy the one who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Hello? For he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, the Bible says, shall be filled. Shall be filled. Not you might do it. He said, I'm going to fill you up. Well, that's just Pentecost. Anybody know who D.L. Moody is? You ever heard of the Moody Broadcast Company? D.L. Moody was a great man of God. Started out teaching Sunday school class, and within 6 months, his class was bigger than the church that they put him in charge of the Sunday school class at. Started evangelizing, was seeing moves of God where people get saved every once in a while. He went to pastor a church in Chicago, had the biggest church in Chicago. They had a fire and it burned his church down. Some ladies told him, said, we're praying for you. He said, I need the strength. They said, no, we're praying for you to get an anointing. He said, what are you talking about, anointing? I had the biggest church in Chicago. They said, it's still, we want something in you that'll move people. D.L. Moody's own writing said, I experienced something that night in prayer that I'd never felt before. Something hit me that changed my life. Do you know what is written in his memoirs? That he never spoke again publicly, that somebody wasn't saved, because every time he spoke with an anointing he had never known before that touched lives and moved people. Amen. You say, well, that's D.L. Moody. It is D.L. Moody, but listen, there are other great men. R.A. Torrey talked about when God touched him after years of ministry and filled him with some type of anointing that transformed his ministry into an evangelistic ministry that saw thousands come to know Jesus Christ. Billy Sunday said, I was praying one night and something hit me I'd never felt before. The end result, 1 million souls won to Jesus Christ after that night. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? We need a fresh anointing of the power of God to hit us, to turn the world upside down. One more time. Stand with me all over the house. A young man saved in a tent meeting. The meeting lasted all of 3.5 months. One person saved during that whole 3.5 months. He was about 14, 15 years old. He began to preach. Had a fair ministry. Well known in his neighborhoods because of his eloquent delivery, his poignant speech. One night in prayer, he said, God, there's got to be more than what I've got. He was somewhere in his mid-30s or 40s and had 20-some-odd years of ministry. He said in his own memoirs, I felt empty. And I felt as though I wasn't reaching people like God wanted me to reach people. He said, not knowing what I was doing, I said, God, give me something to turn people upside down. An anointing fell in my heart and touched me and set me on fire. The end results, his next meeting was in a church in New York City that ended up in Madison Square Garden. And 55 weeks later, they closed the revival with over 100,000 people coming to know Jesus Christ. It launched a ministry that has carried over decades and moved thousands around the world, even millions. A few weeks ago, I heard him speaking on television, and he's 80-something years old, 90-something years old now, suffering from Alzheimer's. And I'll never forget what he said in his closing statement. He said, they bought me this suit. I don't know where they bought it. He said, to be honest with you, I don't know where I've been, but I know where I'm going. I'm talking about Billy Graham. Just a few months ago in New Orleans, speaking in one of his last engagements before he retired completely from the pulpit. They sent him on one of them little scooter things, and he led a group of people down through the middle of French quarters witnessing. Had 300 people saved that night on that witnessing trip down through the French Quarter, and him on that little scooter talking to people about Jesus, because there was something about that voice of a man who found something greater than what he had before that anointing fell in his life. I believe if we've ever needed anything, we need to get hungry for God again. We need the baptism of the Holy Ghost in our lives. We need to hunger for his presence, for something more than just a casual acquaintance and a slight relationship. We need something to carry us into the deepness of God. Father, I believe you tonight for your anointing and your fire. God, I believe you for your presence in this house. Holy Spirit of God, pour out your blessings tonight. Touch us, God, with your anointing. Father God, move on us. Lord, I believe you tonight. Open up the windows of heaven. Pour into us tonight with your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.